The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Hello there again, boys and girls, and welcome to another live episode of Circling the Bases, proudly a part of NBC Sports Edge. I'm your host, Colin Henderson. Joining me today, as always, Mr. Christopher Crawford. Chris, welcome to the last show of the fantasy baseball season, our last show together for it. It's been a long one. It's been a season.
It's surreal. It's crazy. Like, we did all of the games last year, but like 100 less games, which means I'm not going to do the math off the head, but like an extra 4 months of shows, something like that, give or take. Yes. It's been a lot of fun. It's been an interesting year. I look forward next year, and we're going to still be doing some podcasts going forward.
We're
going to be going about once a week, but I'm really looking forward next year, hopefully knocking on this terrible plastic thing that I'm knocking on. Less injury talk. Let's talk about how many guys are going down for the season, because like it seems like we had to lead off 87.5% of our shows with somebody being hurt for the year.
You know what makes it even more difficult? When I have to produce the episodes afterwards and then write a title, and the title is like injury update. You know what I mean? Like, just continual, just throw like, all right, more injury updates. And then next week I'm looking back, I'm like, okay, and more injury updates. Like, here you go. And we have to talk about them because we have to. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that is, I'm all with you. I'll knock on this also crappy piece of plastic here and go for next year being a far less injury plague season. But after coming off of a 60 game season, getting back to 162 again, hoping that we were going to get to 162. That was never a full-fledged guarantee. Like,
far from it.
Exactly. Like, this was, all in all, it was a great season to be a fan, and so much of it being the Dodgers Giants race in the National League, the Vlad Ohtani conversation in the American League, so much fun stuff that comes from that. We will be talking for the next couple weeks about the entire fantasy season in a long stretch. I think we're going to have a postseason preview with you, me, Drew, and DJ sometime next week. We'll definitely be talking, like I said, state of the fantasy baseball world. We'll be talking about keepers for next year. We'll be talking about tonight. We'll be talking about surprises from the season and how they might impact next year. How do we view their performances from this year into next year? I know DJ and Drew will have their disappointments list on Thursday. They will be discussing the players that disappointed this year and how they view them going into next year. There is tons more coverage. Even though the fantasy baseball season is ending, know there is plenty more to come back for, especially just to look at these two faces. Look at that. Look at that. How can you? That's a selling point right there. That's why they keep us on here.
How can you go wrong?
Yes. But first, before we get to all of the surprises from the year, the NFL season is in full swing, and the NBC Sports Predictor app has you covered. With Sunday Night 7, predict what will happen on Sunday Night Football for a chance to win up to $100,000 every week. It's free and easy to play. Download today from your app store or visit nbcsports.com/predictor to play. Note, it is available in, to my knowledge, all 50 states. You are not hamstrung by your state's betting rules. So make sure you're checking out nbcsports.com/predictor for Sunday night. And it was a good Sunday night game the other day. Don't give Aaron Rodgers 37 seconds.
Nope.
Apparently that's all that matters. That's all that matters. Just don't give him 37 seconds and no timeouts. And he still gets there.
Or maybe don't also overreact to game one, especially with Aaron Rodgers. Like,
I sit here watching and I go, like, are we doing this again every year?
Yeah, every year.
The one game Tom Brady plays poorly, we've been talking about his demise for the last decade, it seems like. And yet he's in the Super Bowl every year. So stop it. Just stop. Wake me up at week three and then we can have a conversation about where everyone is. I don't want to talk about week one and use that to extrapolate for 17 more games.
No, week one matters a lot in college football because that's just the way it goes. But in the NFL, week one is borderline meaningless. I mean, like,
it's exciting. Nice
it's fun. It's great to be back.
That's about it.
It is also that just absolutely not predictive whatsoever.
Not even a little bit. So let's get to some of the fantasy surprises from this season. And look, when we look back at the 2021 season, however the voting, however who wins the World Series, however everything else goes, we're going to look back at the 2021 season as the year of Shohei Ohtani, the year that he stepped onto the scene. And we, as a baseball, nay, a sports community, all marveled at one player just in general. Like, there was not a detractor amongst the group. I remember there was a lot of conversation at the beginning of the year. Hey, look, can he stay healthy? Can he be a two-way player? Can he be an effective two-way player? How would they use him? Can he, you know, is he going to break down? All of that stuff came out, and you know what? He put all of it to bed. Just an absolute masterpiece of a season. 258 average with 45 home runs, 98 RBIs, 99 runs scored, and 24 stolen bases across 516 at-bats. Those are phenomenal stats. Oh, wait, but he also pitched. He was 9-2 with a 3.18 ERA, with a 1.09 whip, and 156 strikeouts across 130 innings. This is, again, everyone compares him to Babe Ruth, and that I genuinely believe is factually inaccurate because Babe Ruth wasn't putting up these kind of numbers simultaneously. They were seasons apart, but they were not simultaneous. This is maybe the most impressive baseball season that we have seen from a baseball player maybe ever. And that is how phenomenally good it is. It crushes me to know that his postseason chances were over sometime around the All-Star break. Yeah. But this, I mean, what he did this year was unbelievably surprising. And, I mean, we're going to talk about him going into the offseason. Like, how much do we 100% believe in it? How much we're going to have these conversations just because we have to, because we've never seen something like this before.
Yeah, it's tough to predict that he's going to do – it's impossible to predict that he's going to do something that we haven't seen before because we've already seen it. But at the same time, like, there's weird things about Ohtani from a fantasy perspective, especially because – and look, we have to talk about Yahoo because, for one thing, that's what we cover. Like, we are – we do these news blurs for Yahoo, and a lot of people play in Yahoo. When Shohei Ohtani is just one player – I think you can pretty easily argue he's the best fantasy player in baseball, and it's not even close. Yeah. To be able to get those type of numbers and to accumulate those as a pitcher and a hitter is something. But even just the hitter, like, he was ranked the eighth best hitter of the year. And by the way, I'm just looking at this right now. Four in Yahoo leagues, 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 were all hitters this year, which speaks to how many injuries we had for pitchers this year. But 8 of the top 10 scorers this year are going to end up being hitters. But Ohtani was a guy in the preseason ranked 344th and finished 8th. And the only question marks with me are, one, is I think health is always going to be a concern with a two-way player like this. Like, there's just no way to be say that there isn't going to be concerns. And then two, a little bit of the average stuff. And look, this was a guy who was hitting close to 270, 280, and has slugged off a big time amount. A very patient hitter, partially because he has to be, like, so many walks, especially as of late. And that's great for on base leagues, but it does kind of hurt you in the average leagues. But I think just the fact that, like, if Yahoo especially makes this guy one person, I think you can argue you take him in the top three, maybe even with that top spot. But even just as a hitter, I think he's worth considering, like, with a second round pick, something like that. And we're going a little long on this, but the fact that we haven't seen Ohtani, anybody do what Ohtani has done, I think is worth a longer conversation.
And not to mention, you talk about his walks. Well, guess what? They could walk around him this year because no Anthony Rendon, Mike Trout behind him. Like, that is a big deal. So you know what?
It is.
How much scarier is it that he might actually have to face real pitching knowing that Mike Trout is right behind him next year?
Right.
That's horrifying for everybody, for other teams. That's got to be absolutely frigid. You can't pitch around Otani. Guess what? Even if you do, 90th sprint speed and 24 stolen bases, you might be on second base before the end of this conversation. So, I mean, I think there is, I want to say there's another gear that he can get to with lineup protection. And if so, then you're absolutely right. Even if he's a hitter only in a Yahoo league, I think he's one player in ESPN and CBS, but I think I know Yahoo has him as two. Even if he is hitter only, he is still unbelievably valuable and might have even more heights to go next year.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. I think you could see more runs scoring. Maybe runs a little less if you're concerned about keeping him healthy, like to make sure that he doesn't. But like 40 home runs seems like a lock if this guy's healthy.
Almost
he's
a lock,
He's got as much raw power as anybody. And speaking of raw power, my favorite fantasy surprise of the year, and it's not really a huge surprise to me as a prospect guy, but so was a guy who was going in the fourth or fifth rounds, and he's going to end up being the most valuable fantasy player in Yahoo baseball leagues, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. I mean, you just look at these numbers, 315, 46 homers, 105 RBIs, even stole four bases. Well, look, I mean, it's not a huge number, it's something. A lot of basemen are not going to give you any. A lot of third basemen aren't going to give you any. So it's nice to get close to a handful of steals just to add on to how good this guy is. And like, I mean, you just look at the metrics. And again, metrics are not predictive. They are the results. It's kind of like RBI. Like, they are just a stat. You cannot predict that Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is going to drive in 105 runs. You can bet on it. You think it's going to happen because it, with playing in that lineup and how good he is at driving the baseball, he's probably going to drive in a lot of runs. But you look at these metrics, and he's so high in everything. Like, he just crushes the baseball. And I do get that there was some concern in 2020 because he was hitting the ball hard, very hard, but a lot of it was on the ground. But we should have been looking at what he was doing as a 21-year-old and thinking, holy crap, how good can this guy be? But instead, for some reason, we were looking at this guy wondering if everything was going to work out. I never gave up. I was a guy who was telling people as much as you can to not ever give up on Vladimir Guerrero Jr. In hindsight, it sounds like it's the easiest advice in the world. But look, he's been excellent. I think that there is no doubt in my mind that he's going to be a top five fantasy player for a very long time because he's a lock to hit for average. He's a lock to hit for power. Should be able to give you those run-producing seasons in a very, very good Toronto lineup. We're going to talk about another one of their surprises in just a second. Maybe he's back to drive that guy in. But Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is just really flipping good, and I am so excited to see what he can do going forward.
It's amazing how so many people threw that unbelievably premature bust tag around him as if that was remotely fair or within the realm of possibility. He is, I mean, look, I understand when you come up with such unbelievably high expectations that if you don't jump over the bar, sometimes people are going to get over that. But that was unbelievably premature.
Yeah.
Like I said, you're absolutely right with him. He is going to be an absolute monster for the next decade plus. I mean, he's going to conceivably, if he stays healthy with the lineup that he has surrounding him, we could be talking about like the next Pujols Miggy kind of like lock it in your first base spot for forever kind of guy. Yeah. I mean, that's how good he can be. Leads the American League in hits, only .002 average behind Yuri Gurriel. Tied for Salvador Perez for the home run lead, 12 RBIs behind Perez for the RBI lead. I mean, it's astounding. And there's no reason to think he's going anywhere but up from here, which is amazing to think that, like, this should be the peak of some people's careers.
No.
He's 24 years old. Like, there's more to him. Like, he has the ability to get even better, which is scary.
And real quick, the only thing I guess you have to keep in mind with Vladimir Guerrero, like, going forward is, it's going to be at first base, and at some point he's going to be a designated hitter. That's just the way it is. The body is what it is. He's svelter than he used to be, but he's still not exactly built like Usain Bolt. He's not going to be a guy who wins a lot of base races. But everything else is going to be there. And maybe even he falls down to like that 280, 290 range. Possible, but he's just as possible that he gets in that 325, 330 range too.
Yep.
Because the ball jumps off this bat. He recognizes pitches as well as any young hitter I've ever seen. He's going to be a star.
Could he not agree. He is a star. I was going to say, I think we're past the could-be conversation. Let's talk about his teammate that you alluded to earlier, Marcus Semien. Look, 268, 339, 543 is his slash line with 43 home runs, 99 RBIs, 111 runs, and 15 stolen bases on the year. It is scary to think of the two of them in the same lineup. Yeah. Is And that's not including Bo Bichette. That's not including Teoscar Hernandez. That's not including any of them. That's just how freakishly deep that lineup is. He has a 7.2 WAR this year, which is nuts. He played in he has played so far, I should say, in 156 games this season, which I think we talk about stats all the time, but you know what? And we talk about health all the time, but we don't reward positive health, and we don't talk about positive health enough. 156 games this season, played in the full 162 in 2019. This is a guy who is durable. This is a guy who continually is out there every day. And if you are a fantasy manager, you absolutely love that because don't have to go tinkering around with him. Lock him into your stuff and stick there. He's going to be eligible as shortstop and second base next year, which even gives you a little bit of flexibility. You absolutely love that.
Right.
And we talk about Marcus Semien. He's going to, and again, I'm going to project here, but he's going to be in the top five at worst of AL MVP voting in two of the last three seasons. He signed a one-year deal, prove it deal this year. Maybe some of the best money anyone has spent all year. And now he's going to walk into a free agency with that stat line. So I don't know where he lands next year, and that's going to obviously impact where we might rank him amongst other shortstops slash second basemen. But regardless of where he lands, I think he proved that 2019 was not a career fluky year.
No.
This is a player. This is a real guy that we have to now genuinely talk about in the same conversations as the Lindors, the Stories, and the others, because he's just proved it.
Yeah. Yeah, the only concern I have with Semien is going to be batting average. And look, he's hit 268, which is a solid number, but and then he hit 285 and 219, but there's a lot of 223, 249, 238, that type of thing. So yeah, he can be closer to detriment than helper in that category, but seems likely to steal 10 to 15 bases, seems likely to hit 30 to 35 home runs. A lot of that will depend on where he's playing. Like that is, I would imagine a team like, I can't help but think about the Mariners, who have just absolutely no financial restrictions whatsoever, or shouldn't, because they aren't paying anybody, and they've said all of these things about how they're going to spend money. I want to see it, but like going to T-Mobile Park is not quite as friendly as playing where he was playing this year. But he hit 33 home runs in Oakland, which is far from a hitter paradise. You know, that's certainly. Then you watch Marcus Semien hit those. These are not balls that are scraping over the wall. He has legitimate plus power. It's tough to rank him over a guy like Trey Turner, or to rank him over a guy you're obviously not ranking him above Fernando Tatis Jr. You're probably not ranking anybody over Fernando Tatis Jr. at that position for a very long time, as long as he's playing it. But I think you do have to talk about him in that top five shortstop conversation. The only concern I have, again, is if he's going to hit for enough average to be, I think he ends up ranking like seventh this year overall. Mm-hmm. Like, I would guess he's more closer to a top 25 player than a top 10 player next year, but that's still really good.
That's still really good for a guy who was the 13th shortstop off the boards at the beginning of the season. That just shows you the level of value that you got if you were able to grab Marcus Semien at the draft.
Yeah, absolutely. And a guy that you brought up earlier, the guy who is basically going to keep Vladdy from winning the Triple Crown. I came so close. I did predict that in our prediction show.
You did. That Vladdy Jr. would do it.
And I was so close. I'm going to need Vladdy to have like a 8 RBI game in Salvador Perez to be shut down. But we're going to talk about Salvador Perez.
Because no. He's playing the Yankees for the next 3 days for me. He can't do that. All right. He's not allowed. All right. After that, he can do it.
Fair enough. Yeah, I'll take that too. I will absolutely take that too. But Salvador Perez has just been outstanding this year. Very good chance that he's going to lead the majors in homers. You know, I keep going back to that home run derby he had where he lost in the first round to Pete Alonso. Like, it was still an incredibly impressive display that he put on. It just so happened that he ran into one of the greatest first rounds ever. 30, Looking at the homer totals now, I've somehow lost the page, but he's like at 47 homers. He's driven in the runs that that Colin mentioned. The only concerns I have with Salvador Perez are, is the lack of patience going to get to him? You know, he's going to play a bunch of games. He's been as durable a catcher as I think I've ever seen.
Molina.
Yeah. Like that's usually you're seeing catchers playing 110, 120 games. This is like the rare guy who can play like 130, 140 games. And that is valuable in that catcher position. Like knowing that it's one thing to just be playing, of course. And the other thing is to be hitting homers. Do I think that he is the clear cut best catcher in fantasy baseball right now? I think I do. And again, we talked about this earlier. The question mark for me is going to be, is if Will Smith is going to actually get to play like Will Smith is. There's no guarantee. Actually, bet against it right now. I think what they're going on with Austin Barnes. And it's worth pointing out that even with the trade of Keibert Ruiz, the Dodgers are loaded in catching prospects. So you could see a guy like Diego Carte at some point. Long story short, I'm not sure Will Smith is ever going to get to live up to the fantasy potential that he has as long as he's a member of the Dodgers. But I do think Salvador Perez is a guy that you have to consider as that best catcher because he's going to play. He's clearly getting stronger. I think you can lock in 30 to 35 home runs. The Royals lineup should be better, so a chance to drive in more runs for him as well, even though he's driven in plenty this year. Imagine putting Bobby Witt Jr. in that lineup now, too. I do think he's a guy that offers a little bit of risk because of a catcher, and I don't expect him to challenge for 50 home runs again. But 35 homers, 100 RBIs, 270 lineup, sign me up.
Yeah, and there's not a whole lot of catchers out there that you can pretty much write in permanent marker at the beginning of the year that is what their stat line is going to be. You hope for those stat lines.
Right.
But there's not a whole lot of them that you can all but like really write it into granite. Sure. He's just been unbelievable. And like you said, add Bobby Witt, add theoretically at least more than 30 games of Alberto Mondesi in the top of that lineup. Look at where that goes. Like Andrew Benintendi is finishing the year phenomenally. I think that he could be brought back and really continue that into next year. There are some talents on that roster, not on the pitching roster, but on the hitting side, there is quite a bit of talent there. Especially with Bobby Witt coming up. I absolutely think he's the number one catcher off boards next year. And I think he's earned it. Yeah. I think it's tough for you to say that anyone else can right in those numbers. I mean, Real Muto is going to be in the conversation, but Salvador Perez, kudos to you, buddy. So Chris, let me ask you this. In the non-Vlad Jr. Otani MVP race, between Judge, Semien, and Perez, who you filling out that five?
Semien's pretty clear cut three to me. A lot of years, we're just talking about Marcus Semien being a lock for the MVP, to be completely honest with you.
Perfectly fair.
It just so happens that you have somebody doing something we've never seen before and a third baseman who is going to do 300, 400, 600 with 50 homers, pretty maybe. Yeah. So, and then I would go probably Judge fourth and then Perez fifth. Again, most of the time for me, it doesn't matter if the team is good or not, but if it's close like this, I do think you have to kind of say,
give the nod. Yeah.
Give a little bit of a nod, but it has to be like razor thin close for me to do that. Like extremely even because this is an individual reward, but it is a good question.
Yeah. I think that's my order as well. But as I was sitting here writing back these things, I was like, this is the non-Vlad Jr. Otani conversation. Hey, all you fantasy football, basketball, and hockey players out there. Don't you want a great place to read in-depth articles, find expert rankings and projections, and need some draft help? Of course you do. So make sure you're signed up for NBC Sports Edge Plus. Signing up for Edge Plus gets you access to our fantasy football, basketball, and hockey sections, in addition to our incredible baseball and sports betting content. As a reward for our listeners, be sure to use the promo code BASES10 to get 10% off any premium subscription package, either monthly or annually, regardless of tier. So to find your edge, make sure you are signed up for NBC Sports Edge Plus. The promo code again is BASES10. Now let's stick with the Blue Jays. I know we're having a whole bunch of Blue Jays conversations, but you know what? They deserve it. And Robbie Ray is easily one of the biggest surprises of this year. I mean, I would have bet my right arm that we would be nowhere close to this conversation at the end of this year, the way that where he ended last year. He is 13-6 with a 2.68 ERA and 31 starts, a 1.04 whip. His 244 strikeouts leads the majors. 188 innings pitched leads the American League. That ERA, I said, 2.68, that also leads the American League. And the maybe the most surprising thing of all, 44 walks in 188 innings pitched. That is lunacy, considering over the last 2 years, 126 walks in 226 innings pitched. So more than a walk, more than half a walk per inning pitched. That's how bad he was, really, for the last 2 years. And then this year, just snaps right to the guy that I think we all kind of hoped that he would turn out to be. And I think a lot of us threw out and said, he's never going to get there.
Right. So here's the thing. Like, you watched Robbie Ray pitch, and he's had success in the major league level. Like, there have been good years. There have been really good years. But expecting Robbie Ray to be at his best, and not just at his best, like, legitimately probably the Cy Young favorite. If it's not the Cy Young favorite, it's awfully close here. 244 strikeouts in 188 innings. And the big thing there is the command. And I realized that last year there was a lot of stuff going on. The understatement of understatements is that there was a lot of stuff going on. It was a small sample size. But like, you watched him and he had no idea where the baseball was going.
No.
None. Zip zero. And now he's borderline a strike throwing machine. I mean, to go from that to that, and we're not talking about like a 24 or 25 year old doing this. We're talking about a veteran pitcher going from that to that is honestly like one of the biggest surprises that I've ever seen in my life. Like, it is awesome to see. It is a really cool thing to see, because I really thought that we were going to have to start having the conversations about whether or not Robbie Ray was just done. We did a podcast last year where we talked about the fact that you just flat out can't start Robbie Ray, and now he's going to probably win a Cy Young Award or finish awfully close. And this guy, you know, if it wasn't for the fact that he probably just didn't get enough innings, would be a contender for that. Carlos Rodon, and it's so nice to see. We talked about this before. Like, it makes me feel good as a guy who likes to pretend he knows what the heck he's talking about in terms of scouting and stuff, to one of the best college baseball pitchers that I've ever seen in my entire life. And some of it had to do with health, but even when he was healthy, the results were kind of mixed. Haven't been mixed this year. 181 strikeouts in just under 128 innings, 2.47 ERA, a 0.97 whip. And that's one of the things, too, similar to Ray, not quite at that extreme, was that, you know, he had some issues with walks. He had some issues with throwing not just quality strikes, but strikes, period. Not a problem this year. It's been awesome to see. I'm buying big on Carlos Rodon for next year. I think he has a chance. Like, even if he's only in that 150, 160 inning range, I think he has a chance to put up similar numbers to what actually Ray did next year. And I didn't really answer the question, I guess, but like, I'm a little hesitant about Robbie Ray being that type of pitcher again next year. I think he'll be good. He's made clear delivery changes that are for the best. But if you were asking me, like, which pitcher will be better next year, I like Rodon a little bit to somewhere between a little bit and substantially more than Ray next year. But both of them are excellent plays. I just think Rodon has a chance, especially at his age, and the stuff that he's shown has a chance to be special.
Yeah, you're right with Rodon, especially when it comes to the age conversation. Just like, how much does that age factor in? Can he reach newer levels? Like, I feel like this might be the peak of Robbie Ray's ability right now. Like, again, AL Cy Young is a pretty great peak to be at. But like, does he have another gear to get to? I think Rodon actually does at this stage in his career. Like you said, prior to the season, a 29-33 record with a 4.14 ERA and nearly a 2-1 K walk ratio. Not a great ratio. This year, 181 strikeouts to 34 walks. Right. I'm not a math major, but that's way better than 2-1. And a 4.6 WAR, also excellent for a guy who had an 8 ERA last year. So let me ask you this question. I mean, all right. So you take Rodon over Robbie Ray next year in terms of, if you're drafting straight up right now, you'd take Rodon over Robbie Ray. I agree with you there, especially knowing where I don't know where Robbie Ray is pitching next year, which is a very much a factor. But would you take Rodon over Lucas Giolito next year? A guy that you were very high on entering this year. In fact, I think you picked for AL Cy Young at the beginning of the season.
Well, I actually pitched Lance Lynn for AL Cy Young. So if that's the same AL Central team. It's funny. Like,
you want to rank them for me? I'll take all three from you.
That's really tough. I think I would still go. I think Giolito has the highest floor of I would say Lynn has the highest floor of those guys just because he's going to eat the innings for those guys. I think Giolito has the better combination of ceiling and floor. I'm more confident in him giving me 170 to 180 innings. And he was really good after a terrible start to the year. Just couldn't find the location. I had no doubt about the stuff, and he's been mostly fine. A little bit of a disappointment. Like, he's going to finish like a little lower than where he was probably drafted in standings. But compared to some other pitchers who just flat out either got hurt or had lots of other things going on. He was a little more consistent than those guys. I'd probably take Giolito over Rodon, but it's pretty close.
Yeah, I think that's probably my order as well. And that's only because I just feel slightly more confident with Giolito than Rodon. And again, if I'm drafting pitchers next year, it's especially around this time, it's just more about like which one do I feel has a better chance to be better this year versus that. And I think Giolito has that level. But just shows you how at the beginning of the season, Rodon was not a conversation next to those two. And now it's very much that kind of conversation.
Wacky year. I have a fun stat about the White Sox real quick.
Go for it.
They have played 54 games this year against teams with a winning record. The Mets have lost 54 games to teams with a winning record. So the White Sox have played a third of their season against teams with a winning record. And that can change, actually, if it will change because they're playing the Reds right now. But if the if Cleveland finishes with a winning record and they've got a slim chance to do it, they have to play really well over this weekend. That'll jump up to 72 games. But right now, basically, two-thirds of their games have been either against wet garbage or teams that are a little better than wet garbage. Like, that is an amazing stat and speaks to how bad the AL Central is. But I just thought that was really interesting. They've gone 29-25 in a 162-game season. Against teams with a winning record.
That is a great stat. And by the way, one that is very interesting when we think about the White Sox now moving into a only playing, playoff teams conversation moving forward. How does that matter when you don't get to like take a week off because you've got the Royals and the Tigers coming to town? You know what I mean?
Great question.
That is a good one. Also just shows you like last year in 2020, like this year and probably going into next year without knowing where rosters are, pound the pitching in the Central. Like if I'm choosing between two pitchers and one's in the American League Central, that guy's going on my team. Sure. Let's keep on the mound and let's flip this to the ancient guard, Adam Wainwright. Just come on down, buddy. I want to shake that man's hand. 40 years old, but truly an ageless wonder. 16-7 this year with a 3.05 ERA, a 1.04 whip, and 170 strikeouts to 48 walks across 200 innings. If you told me Adam Wainwright would have gotten any one of those numbers, including the 200 innings pitched at 400, I would have slapped you in the face and laughed at you. But instead, just perfect. From 2016 to 2019, when we started to think that this was the decline, a 4.58 ERA and 1.44 whip, including last year's shortened season and this year, he's 21-10 with a 3.08 and a 1.04 whip. Right. Those are unbelievable, phenomenal for a guy who has suddenly just snapped back into his old ways and is doing it with just a curveball that is still one of my favorite pitches in the game. You know, there are certain pitches you just want to be in a batter's box to experience. Sure. Adam Wainwright's curveball is one of them. He signed a one-year extension to play with the Cards again next year, which has been rumored to be his last. But when we talk about Adam Wainwright going into next year, and one, I want to see an Adam Wainwright, Max Scherzer, one-game wild card in the National League. Come on, let's do it. Sure. Adam Wainwright next year, like, he's going to be a very intriguing guy to draft in like the mid rounds because you're not going to go and spend a top 7-round pick on Adam Wainwright. But is he a guy that like you think can continue this going into next year? He's going to have the same battery mate in Yadier Molina for another season. The two of them probably gone at the end of the next. There's going to be a level of comfortability that he's going to have. This team is still good. I mean, clearly they've just won 19 in a row or whatever it is, and they can't stop losing. They can't stop winning. So yeah. Adam Wainwright, an incredibly intriguing player for next year. Can he possibly get 80 cents on the dollar for what he's giving you this year? You'd take that.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Like, maybe you're looking at 80 cents. I'd be looking closer to like 70 cents or maybe even 60 cents. I do think, like, don't get me wrong, what Adam Wainwright
that's the hope. 80 cents is the hope. Yeah,
fair, for sure. Yeah, like, I think what he's done is spectacular. The 200 innings still, I mean, that's unbelievable. At that age, to give 200 innings, especially in this age of, no, we don't have the Lukey guys anymore, but in this age of specialization where you're seeing guys go five innings and only throw 65 pitches, whether you like it or not, that's just the way the game is played. To see somebody like that at that age and with that mediocre of a track record, and yes, it was a mediocre track record the last three or four seasons, to do that is special. I keep going back to this, and I'm going to talk to a little bit of a spoiler alert. I'm going to talk to Dane Perry of CBS Sports about this tomorrow. Like, all due respect to what the Cardinals have done and NBC Sports Edge St. Louis, which is like 97% of us, it seems like. Like, I'm sorry for saying this. Some of this is the Cardinals are good, and some of this, the National League sucks. I mean, outside of the Giants and the Dodgers.
Top heavy.
And
yeah.
I guess the Brewers, they're a good team, a team that both of us picked to win the NL Central, but I don't think we were predicting to win like 95 games that they're going to end up doing. A lot of that is based on the fact that the National League just isn't good. Like, the NL East is a bad division. The NL Central is a horrible division outside of the Cardinals and the Brewers. I'm sorry. The Reds are a team that absolutely took advantage of the fact that they get to play 10 pounds of crap in a 5-pound bag a whole bunch. Like, it's just – it is not a good league. And I would say that I would – you look at them, I think those teams should be better next year. I think that the competition will be a little tougher next year. So I'm counting – I would guess Wainwright's ERA is closer to 3.75 or 3.8 compared to the 3.5. I would guess less strikeouts. I certainly can't bank on 200 innings from a
200 innings is a gift.
Yeah. I can't do that. And he can still be a solid player. But if you're asking me if Adam Wainwright is either going to be a starting pitcher two on good fantasy teams or a streaming option, if I just had one of those two choices, I'd guess Adam Wainwright. But I hate even saying anything negative about him because what a special season it's been. And it's an awesome thing to see from one of the guys who seems like one of the good dudes in baseball. I'm a lot more bullish on this guy. And I'll skip my last pitcher and go to this guy. Austin Riley has just been awesome. I have always liked Austin Riley, a guy who was ranked highly on my prospect list. I will say this. I am a big believer in him going forward. But it's because of his power and not because of his batting average. Like, I would have bet if you would have given me some sort of prop for Austin Riley to challenge even for hitting 300, and I would have let you pick the challenge part, like 280 to 320, something like that. If you gave me any odds outside of those numbers, I would have bet heavy on it because of how much swing and miss he has in his game. Yep. But he has hit so much, has had so much hard contact. I still believe in Austin Riley. I think he's worth considering in like that second to third round, even without the stolen bases, because I think that Austin Riley can be a 40 homer guy for a long, long time. And I think he's going to get, assuming that Atlanta lineup gets healthy, and it should, a chance to drive in a ton of runs. I really, really like that Atlanta lineup going forward. But I will offer the caveat, not going to give you stolen bases. And if he's dropped down a good 50 points in batting average, I wouldn't be shocked at all. But because of his power, because of his age, and what he's shown, like, the ball jumps off this dude's bat. It always has. I just think the strikeouts might be a little bit more of an issue next year. But Austin Riley has been sensational this year, and I like him a lot for 2022 as well.
A 303 average.
Unbelievable.
Prior to the season, a 232 career average entering this year. I mean, obviously, it's only 2 years, and one of them was a shortened one. But 303 was not on our radar. Like, that was not something that we expected to occur with an OPS just shy of 9, like 0.9. Like, that's incredible. 32 homers, 100 RBIs, 88 runs, 172 hits, and a 5.7 WAR across 568 at-bats. That is awesome. A sparkling line. And again, like you said, I think he can improve in the home run category. I think he can improve in the RBI category with a better lineup around him, which just shows that there's, again, anytime you're – we start looking at this year and then we start moving to next year. I don't want the same production. I want to see like an additional step from anybody who's young. Like I want to see there a little bit more growth. And if so, if he can be a 270 hitter with those kind of power numbers,
absolutely,
you lock him in. Like that is phenomenal numbers from the third base spot. And best part, like Semien has played 154 games so far this year. You super absolutely love the fact that he is in your lineup every day. That is just so rare in today's game that we are finding those Ripken-esque, I can lock you in kind of guys. Love me some Austin Riley for next year. I'm with you. I've always liked Riley. I was just curious he was ever going to live up to the kind of batting average potential that we weren't quite sure that we were ever going to see. Now I feel a lot more confident drafting him next year, knowing that he can do this over a full season. So even if I don't get all of that and I make it up elsewhere, I'm perfectly fine with that.
Fair.
Let's talk about somebody else who impressed, especially for the first half of the year. And I find he's going to be in a very intriguing option as we move into next year. And that's Jesse Winker of the Reds. 305, 394, 556 with 24 homers, 71 RBIs, and 77 runs. An OPS of 949. Look, he was maybe the hitter of the year for the first half of the year in the non-Vlad Otani conversation, in Tatis conversation. Missed time in the second half of the year due to injuries. So, like, we do need to kind of take that into play. But with an extra 100 to 150 at-bats, genuinely could have pushed for 30-plus home runs and 100-plus RBIs. That's the kind of player that I think we now have to expect him. Also, a phenomenal batter's eye, 75 strikeouts on the year. You absolutely love that, especially if you're in a points league where strikeouts give you the negative. Absolutely love that. I'm incredibly high on Jesse Winker going into next year, especially if he sticks with the Reds. That is such an offensive team with a lot of talent behind him. I think Jesse Winker could be a top 20 outfielder next year.
Yeah, absolutely. A chance to be. The cognizant of health is the only thing I'd say with him. Like, and it's been an issue really since he was a prospect. So, but it's never been a question about offensive talent with him. And I love the park that he plays in too. I think that's a place that's very, very friendly for him. There's a ton of outfielders that we could have done for this list too. Like we were talking about Cedric Mullins, DJ and Drew did their show and spent like 90 minutes on him. So we skipped him, but he's absolutely one of the best surprises and a guy that I think you have to target as a 30-30 player. Mitch Haniger is another one that I was kind of considering as well. We both were. A fun stat about Mitch Haniger, with his 37 homers after hitting two homers on Monday night, he now has the third most homers of all time of a player who missed the previous season. The other two players on that list are Willie Mays and Ted Williams, who are pretty good baseball players.
They do.
They're fairly good.
Some fringe first-round picks in between those two.
Some fringe first-round selections. Well, boy, it'd be interesting to see where you would draft Willie Mays in fantasy leagues. I would imagine he'd be the number one pick for a very long time with those steals and homers. But the outfielder that I'm going to talk about is not an outfielder. I'm going to talk about a pitcher. It's Ranger Suarez. And to say that Ranger Suarez has come out of nowhere is an understatement of understatement. Like, look, he was a borderline top 10 prospect for the Phillies, which spoke more to the Philly system not being super great than anything Suarez was doing. But holy crap, has he been good this year. And since making the move from relief to starting, has just been absolutely outstanding. I mean, one of the most underrated, I think, helpers for fantasy teams this year. Not a guy who was exactly, I don't remember us talking about Ranger Suarez even during the season, but he has been absolutely sensational. Based on what I've seen from him going forward, like, do I think he's going to have a 1.45 ERA with an even one whip? No, I don't.
No.
But this is over 100 innings of giving you this. Like, that's not as big of a sample size as some of these other guys. But it's far from small. 100 innings is a good amount of work of him being flat out dominant. I think the Phillies are going to be better next year, despite the fact that I think, boy, Joe Girardi, you are not great at this. I don't think there are some decisions you make every night. And some of it is because I follow way too many Phillies fans on Twitter. And I'm privileged to seeing those mistakes that he makes. But that doesn't have anything to do with Ranger Suarez talent or the fact that they have Bryce Harper, who has been excellent this year and I think is worth late round first consideration. I do think that he has a chance to be a very, very solid starter, or even if they move him to relief, if he was to be their closer, he'd be a guy I'd be looking to target. But in those middle rounds, somebody who was just completely off of radars, similar to Andrew Kittredge, who they just happened to be ranked right next to each other. But I believe in Suarez being a starter long term. Kittredge, you know, has a chance to be a very nice relief option in deeper leagues. But Suarez is somebody I'm definitely buying next year.
His sinker, he threw a sinker 44.5% of the time this year.
It's filthy.
And hitters only hit 209 against it.
Yeah, it's
and
tough.
That's not a joke. His expected batting average against that pitch, 205. So if anything, it should have been slightly better. And a 45% whiff percentage on his changeup. Like, that sinker changeup combo has just decimated hitters so far in his major league career, at least this year. Like you said, if he were to end up being the closer there, I would love him simply because Philadelphia has failed to find any type of closing situation for the last 7 years. I'm sure all your Twitter friends know about that. And but otherwise, if he gets into the line, I mean, if he's in the rotation and with 100 innings pitched this year, that should give him plenty of leeway to expand it out full into next year. I could not agree with you more. I think the only time we spoke about Ranger Suarez on this pod was when someone asked us, hey, is he a keeper for next year? And I think both of us said no. Yeah. And now we're sitting here kind of going like, okay, well, we might be wrong now. Like, that might actually be a thing. Like, if you have the spot, Ranger Suarez has done nothing but impress me. I'm all about him next year as well. I think he's got a very bright future ahead of him, especially if he can continue to pitch the way that he has. But that just about finishes up our show for today. If you like what you're hearing, make sure you are subscribed to Circling the Bases wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you listen on Apple Podcasts, please be sure to rate and review us. Love those 5 stars. You can follow me on Twitter at Kyle Don't Lie, and you can follow Chris at Crawford_MILB. Be sure to tune back in tomorrow as Chris invites CBS Sports' Dane Perry onto the pod for his final special guest of the season, so be sure you don't miss it. So until next time, stay safe out there, and as always, thanks for listening.
I love you, Dom Smith.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.